Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
No, you got to win. You got to focus on what's right in front of you. And luckily for us, we do have confidence in those other two backs. I thought Emmanuel Wilson ran really, really good. Brooks has given us some good carries as well. So, yeah, we may have to lean on those guys a little bit more next game in a couple days here. But, that's one guy that I don't worry about is Josh Jacobs. Guy is an animal. He is a dog and a dog competitor. And, I think he definitely relishes those opportunities.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Oren Burks, former Packer, former 49er, is going to be joining the show at 10:20 a.m. today. So that should be a really interesting perspective coming from a player who played for both teams and breaking down this game from this past week. So that should be a ton of fun. Looking forward to that one and hearing what those guys have to say again at 10:20 a.m. today. I guess stick around for the rest of the show as well. Like, those guys are absolutely tremendous. So yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. All right. Right now joining the show is Matt Fralick, Pack-A-Day Podcast, one of the original members. It is, 2,315 days ago, Matt Fralick, that we kicked off the Pack-A-Day Podcast. And like I said, you were one of the original members of the team. Again, you can find him on Twitter at @Matt_Fray_. Matt, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. 2,300 days ago, who would imagine, Andy, we'd be on real airwaves at this point too. So happy to dive in, and I'm excited to talk Packers.
Not a single person would have imagined that, my friend. Not a single person, but here we are. It is a ton of fun, and I'm so glad to be back chatting with you. It's been far too long since we've got to chat on any sort of actual podcast, radio, or anything else. So excited to catch up with you and excited to talk some Green Bay Packers. Let's kick off with where that sound clip led us into, and that was Josh Jacobs' performance in this game. I want to talk to you in a second about how much work he can potentially do on Thursday coming off this performance on Sunday, but let's just start with overall how well he played in this last game. What did you see from Josh Jacobs that stood out to you?
That was awesome. It was one of those games where I remember, I keep referencing this in my head too. It was a couple clips over the offseason where you specifically kept going through like the Raiders offensive clips and just being like, man, if he had a better offensive line. And we've seen glimpses of like these dominant performances, but the fact that they just stuck with him so many times, ran him the second most carries he had throughout this year. And it was awesome. The jump cuts, getting out in space, and it's just every single time you thought he was going to be caught in the backfield, there was a few, like he was still falling forward for a couple yards. I know it was a different Niners defense than we were typical to see, obviously highlighted probably by some of the injuries they've had with Nick Bosa out, but it was refreshing just to be like, you know what, we can not only win the game with Josh Jacobs on the ground, but we can like seal the game. And it was just beautiful to see him be able to be so productive.
It's funny you say that, because when he was making those players miss in the backfield and taking some of those what could have been negative 3-4 yard losses and turning them into, you know, maybe 0 or 1 yard gains, I kept thinking back to all that tape study of Josh Jacobs from last season, where like he looked like Barry Sanders just in the backfield. Like that's all he could do, because it was just like a guy that was in the backfield every single time when he was playing for the Raiders last year. And it would be a ton of 0-1 yard gains. And you'd look at his average, you'd look at his box score and be like, man, some of the stuff he did just to make that it wasn't a 5 yard loss was absolutely incredible. And we saw that in this game. There were a few opportunities where the 49ers had him dead to rights in the backfield. And he just made people miss and just, again, made it so that it wasn't a 2nd and 14. Instead, it was a 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 9. It's just such a huge difference. There's a lot of hidden yards that went into that. Now, obviously, with him playing as much as he did, getting 26 carries in that game, are you concerned about him on a short week this week going against Miami on Thursday Night Football and having to potentially carry the load again, with very limited rest?
Yeah, I mean, any short week, especially like this, it's tough. I mean, we see that throughout the league, right? Whether it's any team, every Thursday night game is just always it's tough with injuries. The one thing I will say, I've had this in my head for the last few weeks, and actually co-host the Pack a Day for a Saturday episode, Eli Berkovitz, reminded me that Josh Jacobs has never missed a game in his career. So whatever ailments you think that he's going to have, Matt, of going down with the quad or the groin or the knee or whatever he's got banged up with, you know, week to week, we should be positive about that. However, at some point you would think, okay, that the sheer power of numbers would allow him to miss some time. I do think that the way they spelled him later in the game was good. I've been wanting to see more Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson specifically, just from what we saw from him last year, definitely in the last two preseasons. But I think they handled it pretty well. I mean, I would say, like I said earlier, like he had 26 carries. That was the second most attempts in the season. And you also won by 28. So, like, there was probably a certain point that you could have stopped running him so much, but he was so productive, it was, like, tough to get away. And, like, you go back and forth, right? All of a sudden, maybe the game gets closer, Niners get a fluke here or there, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, now you got to put a starter back in. And we've seen that from time to time in the National Football League. It's not the best thing. So, again, hopefully he can rest. He had a rest day yesterday in practice, which is great. Kind of a typical thing he'll do on a Monday, especially with a short week like that. So you hope he's got fresh legs, but I would presume whether or not he's fully, refreshed by Thursday, whether or not they were going to be giving more touches to Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks, just because you kind of have to do that in a short week.
Yeah, no, I think that's really well said. And I think what, can kind of go missed a little bit is, it's what, 12:30 or even worse, 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And, Green Bay's second and goal in San Francisco's 1 yard line at that point, but it's still a two possession game. It's a 14 point game with 11 minutes left in the fourth. So, you can easily say like, well, yeah, just get him out of the game in the fourth quarter. It's like, I think they really wanted to kind of wrap up and get that, get that one more touchdown. And then, kind of after that, we saw a lot more Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. In fact, once they went up by 21 points, that next drive for Green Bay, Emmanuel Wilson run, and then Brooks had the next run after that. Brooks, and then Emmanuel Wilson. So that next drive after they went up by three scores, we didn't really see Josh Jacobs again on the field. So I can understand why you're only up two scores and you want to kind of salt that thing away. I think they also probably wanted to get him over 100 yards as well, if I had to guess. But I do wonder if there's a little bit in hindsight, if maybe they would have given him a couple carries less. But when you have a hot hand like that with Josh Jacobs, I think you have to feed it. And then you work out a plan for Thursday. And to me, it just kind of, as you're saying, I don't have a huge issue if Emmanuel Wilson and Christopher Brooks have to get the ball more. To me, I'm with you. I think they have the opportunity to go out and have a really good game if given the opportunity this Thursday. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Chris Brooks going up against his former team, the Dolphins, we'll see if he gets any extra juice or LaFleur tries to get some of the ball more. But I want to see that. I don't even want to call it a three-headed monster, but definitely give Emmanuel Wilson the rock more. I don't feel like he's gotten enough carries. He had 9 last game. I don't think I'd have to go back and look, but I don't feel like he's gotten 9 carries in any game that I can remember. If he did, so be it. But yeah, I think it's why not lean on it. The one thing I will go against, obviously the Niners were really, really banged up on their run defense. Dolphins are a top 10 run support defense, so you hope that they can slow that down a little bit, a little bit better than what the Packers did, or excuse me, what the Niners did. But again, short week, you never really know. Dolphins, Miami coming into Lambeau, does that change anything? And of course, just like the overall way the Packers have been able to lean on that offensive line, who's been relatively healthy besides a few, ailments here and there. I would love to see maybe like a Josh Jacobs, like 20 carries, Emmanuel Wilson, 10, 15, maybe Chris Brooks, a few more, maybe a goal line carry, a little spitefulness to put in Coach McDaniels' face. But overall, I'd like to see Wilson get the ball more. And I'd like to see the emergence of Chris Brooks. I feel like he's gotten some opportunities. I think it was the Jaguars game down the stretch. He was in there for like that last drive and just straight pass protection, which is great. They obviously see something in him that's very productive. The Packers have always had that like RB3 rotation that you really never know who is going to be there, from Patrick Taylor to years back with Tyler Goodson, and just guys that you're like, hey, it's a valuable spot to have. And clearly they saw something off of Chris Brooks to grab him, early on in the regular season. So there's something there, but yeah, lean on those other guys. Like, why not? I think Jacobs is great. Not exceptional in the pass game. So maybe you have opportunities to get the ball in space with the other running backs as well.
Yeah, I think you can put packages together to benefit Jacobs, Brooks, and Emmanuel Wilson in this game. Going back to Wilson for a second, he's only had one game this season over 9 carries. That was 12 carries against the Titans when he went 12 for 50 in that game in week 3. Otherwise, 9 was the second most. And again, like if you look at Emmanuel Wilson's number, 66 carries, 312 yards, a 4.7 yard average on the ground with one touchdown. Like when given the opportunity, he has produced very nicely for this team. And I think given more opportunity, I think he will continue to do so. So if we need to see Brooks and Wilson in this game, I'm still cool with that. And of course, I think they're still going to get the ball to Josh Jacobs as much as they can. Going back to those bumps and bruises and nicks and everything else, we talked about the injury report at the onset of today's show. Again, we're being joined by Matt Fralick of the Packaday podcast right now. Your initial thoughts on the injury report and anything that kind of stood out to you this week?
Yeah, I mean, for Monday, it's pretty minimal, right? Like, I don't think they're going to really work the guys too much. Like you had mentioned with Josh Jacobs, like how much you worry about him, you know, having so many carries this last game. Nothing that sticks out to me right now. Generally, Mondays are pretty chill anyways, some veteran rest days in there. Nothing that really jumps off. I would say the main one would be obviously Romeo Doubs with that concussion, especially in a short week. There's countless times where players get banged up on a Sunday with a concussion. Rarely do they get cleared on Thursday. It's just not the nature of the NFL anymore, which is fine. I prefer them to err on the side of caution, but that would definitely be the one. The other one that popped up out of nowhere was Josh Myers with the back. Like, haven't seen that in a while. Obviously, we know he was dealing with the wrist injury. So what does that look like in a short week? And then, you know, I kind of alluded to it earlier. They've been banged up a little bit off the offensive line, but then obviously you see Elton Jenkins come up with a rest, but Rashid Walker with the knee too. So it's like, okay, three-fifths of that offensive line banged up. Not great, but I would say the main ones to look at are definitely Romeo Doubs on the offense. And then where do we go from here with Jair? I mean, it's we kind of belabored the point on Saturday on the injury report episode, and it's really unfortunate, obviously, the way that he, you know, appreciate him trying to battle through that injury 10 plays into the Bears game, tears the PCL, not as severe as an ACL injury or anything, but still a torn ligament in your knee. Like, you can't have too much optimism that he, when will he play next? I have no idea, but those would be the main two for me. It's just obviously concussion with Doubs, and then where do we go from here with Jair?
Yeah, the Jair one's definitely going to be a huge one as you look at the you know, totality of the season and when he can get back, and he's just being such a huge part of this defense. So I think that's the one that you're maybe most concerned about long term. I do want to talk about Romeo Doubs in this passing attack. We saw a couple of huge plays from Romeo this past game on some key third downs. How do you feel about this passing offense potentially without Romeo Doubs going out against Miami, and who would need to potentially step up in that scenario?
Yeah, I think, I mean, right now they're very, very healthy besides Doubs. And let's even back up, even going to the last game, like probably the healthiest they've been, but they've typically been very, very, you know, in good shape for the receiving core. And the great thing about this receiving core, even from, you know, outside of the Packers bubble, it's a very, very polished, or I would say it's got some good depth, right? We saw Malik Heath step up, get a touchdown, which was fantastic. We see Christian Watson, Jaden Reed get involved. Dontavian Wicks, who was a darling in the preseason and in the offseason. A lot of people, even like Fantasy Football Dynasty, were saying Wicks would be the guy. We've yet to really see him like really take over. Maybe it's an opportunity versus Miami to do that, but it's generally like kind of the hot hand. I kind of reference like even like the Rams offense when Kupp was down or Puka Nacua was down, guys are stepping up from Tutu Atwell, DeMarcus Robinson, Jordan Winningham. It's going to step up. They're going to be in an issue like years past for Devontae's out, and we're going to get pressed at the line, and we're just in a tough spot with the receivers to be able to make a play. I would assume at this point, Jaden Reed should get the ball more. It kind of seems like they've gone away from getting him the ball in space a little bit, which seemed like there's a little bit of uptick last week. The Christian Watson saga, which he was on the uptick and then he has the drop, is like, okay, maybe we could come back to our median ground with Watson, but I would hope Wicks can, you know, take advantage of some of these opportunities. I've really wanted him to flourish this year. It just doesn't seem like he's been in sync with Love a little bit. I don't know if that's because of the lack of consistency when Malik was in there and then Jordan Love was playing with a few injuries. But there was even a few games a couple weeks ago where it was just like, you know, Wicks get an opportunity, he would drop it. It seemed off sync. It just didn't seem like they'd get some chemistry. So hopefully this week, knowing that Doubs won't play, Wicks would have an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I do think this is a massive week for Dontayvion Wicks and just giving him that opportunity. And I think he needs to go out and really make the most of it. I thought we saw a really nice catch from him over the middle of the field this past week, caught it in stride, great hands catch, run after the catch. Like, that's what we need to see from Dontayvion Wicks moving forward. And I think with Romeo Doubs being out, I think we're going to see a lot of Reed. I think we're going to see a lot of Wicks. I think we're going to see a lot of Watson. I think those three are going to be the primary three, with a little bit of Bo Melton and Malik Heath, you know, sprinkled in. So I think this is a huge opportunity. I think there's a really great player in Dontayvion Wicks in there. Just haven't seen it so far in 2024. And I think this is a huge opportunity for him. Again, we're being joined by Matt Fralick of the Pack a Day podcast. A couple things before we get you out of here, Matt. Number one, it does seem like after a little bit of a lull that turnovers are back on the menu for Green Bay. We saw three big turnovers this past week. It's obviously been a huge part of their defense and being able to take away the ball. Number one, it was great to see. But number two, how huge is that going into this week against a very good Dolphins offense?
That's massive. I mean, you look at how well the Dolphins have played now that Tua is under center. It's a complete thing, as we, you know, most people assumed, but seeing Tua healthy under center, which is fantastic for just an overall football fan, obviously for his health too, but they need to cause turnovers. I mean, the way they've been able to use Jonnu Smith, they've gotten Tyreek Hill the ball more. They need to make plays. And the one thing with Tua is that he's just so on time and so in rhythm with some of the throws he makes. It's really, really hard to jump some of the passes that the Packers have been able to do, especially last week versus Brandon Allen. You're not going to have those windows where he's trying to force it. And it's usually like just so rhythmic that he's able to get it out in space. So I would look for causing a couple fumbles, but it's massive. Like, this is what this defense, we thought it would be. I personally thought it was going to take a little bit of while for it to get in sync as far as maybe some coverages and, you know, the run defense and the pass rush. And we probably actually, hindsight, going back at the end of the year, we'll realize it probably did take a while. But the one thing that Halfley had always said is they're going to fly around, they're going to play aggressive, and we ultimately know that causes turnovers. And to see them, the way they were able to disrupt the ball last week was exactly what they need going down this home stretch, because there was a little bit of a lack of turnovers on the menu. And now that they're getting back in sync, I realize it was with Brandon Allen under center, it was without Brock Purdy. That team was very, very banged up on the offense too, especially with Trent Williams being not activated on Sunday. But I really, really hope these turnovers can stay. And I think there was a point where we were getting a little bit spoiled early on in the year. Like, how often can they keep this up? Can, you know, Xavier McKinney continue his interception streak? Well, the streak ended, but he's still, you know, seven interceptions in the league, tied for first. And I just hope that they're able to make, you know, one turnover, maybe two in this game, because I think that could be a deciding factor versus a Miami Dolphins team that's kind of on the up and up from where they were about a month ago when Tua was out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's going to play a massive factor into this game. All right, Matt, final prediction for this one, Packers Dolphins. What are you feeling?
Oh man, it's going to be sloppy. I think, Thursday night football is usually pretty, pretty sloppy. I don't really ever worry about anything other than if both teams can play consistently and hard. I've been monitoring the weather, as most people have on Thanksgiving, traveling in Wisconsin. I don't think there's supposed to be any snow at this point. I'll have to reach out to my guy, Luke Sampi, but we're going to go with the prediction. We'll go 24-21 Green Bay.
I like it. I like it a ton. Matt, I know you're obviously going to be coming up this weekend on the Pack a Day podcast. What do you got cooking up, and where can we follow you on social media?
Yeah, appreciate that. So a little bit of different cadence this week. Normally, Janelle, Eli, and myself will do a final injury report breakdown for Saturday, giving you the final breakdown before the active list. Obviously, a little bit of different cadence this week. So we're going to do a little bit of deeper dive on the recap of the Miami Dolphins game on Saturday. We'll do that actually the following week as well versus Lions, since it's a Thursday night football game as well. So kind of fun, a little bit of different cadence, a little different show for us, just to be able to recap the games, which I look forward to. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Fray_. That's at @MATT_FRA_.
Matt, we're going to be looking forward to your breakdowns this coming Saturday on the Pack a Day podcast. I know I can't wait for it. I cannot thank you enough, not only for obviously coming on today, but all your contributions on Pack a Day throughout all of those 2,000 plus days. You're the absolute best. We're going to have to do this again very, very soon. You take care and have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk again, like I said, very soon. When we come back, we'll be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250. It's the Pack a Day radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.